Should we just get going?
Chat football.
Been a while.
It has been a while.
You watched much of the Ashes, the end.
I did, I enjoyed it.
How did you enjoy day two?
Well, I realised, by the way, in conclusion, as the Ashes came to the conclusion, that I was there for one day of the whole series. And it was probably the day that caused us to lose the Ashes.
Yeah.
It was the day where Smith got his double 100, so it was my fault, basically.
And dropped on 100 and something as well, wasn't it? No, he was out for a no-ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite weird going to the cricket, though, because you get to the point of about maybe past tea, where you sort of past caring.
You see it on the telly as well, don't you? The crowd don't care anymore.
Or you're watching the party stand. That's more interesting. Yeah. There's a big fat guy with his top off and everyone's cheering him. Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't
walking in like a deck of cards.
Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't in the party stand.
Yeah, it's too much.
It looked horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. It looks good on telly, but...
Yeah, from afar.
Do you know what happened with us on day one? Because it was absolutely freezing.
I know, mate. I felt really sorry for you. Well, I bet you like had to huddle up like penguins to keep warm.
Well, every cloud has a silver lining type thing.
You're going to tell me that people were dressed as penguins?
There probably was. I didn't see them, but there probably was. Actually, I think there were some penguins thinking about it. I did, because we were in the stand, you know, one of the upper tier stands near where the players come out.
Yep.
And opposite there, you got the point. And we saw these like empty seats. So we said, because I went with my mate Rob, and then Jareth was in the party stand. He just turned up on the day and got a ticket. We identified these seats and said, right, we'll meet at lunch, and then we'll go into them seats.
Yeah.
Hospitality. Hospitality seats. No one moved us. So we just stood there and watched. We only got like an hour and a bit because it rained. So next time, just get your party stand ticket and then go stand in hospitality.
That sounds like a plan.
Nice.
Today, I discovered something. I went down to see one of my colleagues called Duncan, and he offered me a walnut.
Okay. It's a strange snack to be offered.
It was a little bit, yeah. But his wife is Greek, and they go to Greece every summer, and he said, oh, they're from Greece. I was like, all right, okay. So I kind of just did that thing... Just like a reflex, just said, no, I'm all right. But then I kind of played with his walnuts for a bit that were on the table. So I was like, well, I better take these and have them now.
How were they?
Absolutely delicious.
Yeah?
Yeah, smashed them up with my mug here. Nice. And they're really, really nice. I want to go down and knock at his door and get some more. He's got a big bowl full. So, recommended little snack for you, probably healthy as well.
Yeah, I think walnuts would be. You know what I can imagine going nice with? Dates.
They feel like they're from the same family, aren't they?
Yeah.
Or people that like walnuts like dates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun. It's football day.
Football. Where do you want to start?
Should we go through? So do Saturday and then come on to Sunday.
Okay, so Liverpool, Newcastle.
See, I saw the Newcastle goal today. Corker.
Absolute corker, yeah. I kind of watched this live, like I was doing my iPad cricket on the telly kind of set up. And
I have to say, just jumping back onto the cricket, thoroughly enjoyed the last test.
Yeah, no, it was amazing.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right, anyway.
Yeah.
So, it was a great goal, and do you know... I love those moments where the away fans go mental.
Yeah,
and
the best feeling.
They absolutely went for it, like the Newcastle fans. You could just tell, like, they'd been down on the train, they're already 4 or 5 pints deep.
and the
match starts like that, and they were just, like, going ballistic. But, yeah, Alexander-Arnold probably wasn't expecting that, because he's all left foot, that guy, isn't he, apparently?
Oh, it was an absolutely incredible finish, and... The thing is that I think there was a couple more goals in that game that were as good as that. I think the equaliser for Liverpool, that was a cracking finish from Mane. Absolute pinpoint top corner.
Yeah, it didn't even look like his... I know he opened his body up and to hit it, but he didn't... It didn't look like a curler. It just sort of came off the instep of his foot and just whacked into the top corner.
You know what the big worry about that was? it looked just so easy for him to do.
I know. And it's like, why can't you just do that every time you go forward?
Yeah.
It looks that easy.
And then the Mo Salah goal and the third goal, I thought was incredible.
Yeah, well, Firmino was looking great, wasn't he?
Firmino, is that double flick that he did on the edge of the box. Absolutely brilliant.
It was one of those moves that I had to watch a few replays to sort of get what he had done.
Yeah, it was. Firmino, he's incredible, isn't he, as a footballer?
He basically holds that front line together, doesn't he? You definitely see his absence. He's the most unselfish as well. He sort of doesn't care if he's scoring or not. He's got that sort of Bergkamp, kind of Cantona, Berbatov kind of vibe where an assist is just as artful, as important. Like, he buzzes off it just as much as a goal. It's nice to have sort of a forward player like that on your side. Not pitching at each other for not passing to each other.
He'll take great pride in it, won't he?
Yeah. But Newcastle, I mean, we criticised Bruce last time we were on here. He won at White Hart Lane. I guess you just got to get through these games and just sort of see if you come out the other side with anything. You can't really seriously expect them to get many points.
Who's their next game? Newcastle.
So they got Brighton and Leicester. Brighton. So yeah, games that they will probably lose.
So maybe that, because they played, haven't they? Now they played Spurs, they played Liverpool, they played Arsenal.
Yeah.
So maybe that was the team that I thought had the bad start. I don't know.
All right, we're back at that first pod. Yeah. This well-researched podcast. So, yeah, Liverpool move on, really. I mean, there's not much else to say.
Well, they look unstoppable at the moment, don't they? They're the best team at the moment. They're playing fantastic football. You know, people say that they've had, there may be a little bit of an underbelly there that can be got at. They're not quite firing. If this is Liverpool not firing, it's scary.
It is scary. Yeah, they're conceding a little bit more than they were last season, but
they're just ruthless.
They are ruthless.
I don't like to say it. You know, I don't enjoy watching Liverpool win, but I really do appreciate the way they play.
I know. I've been talking with my friends, United fans, today, and just saying we just got to get used to the idea that they're probably going to win the league now. I think they want it so much this season that is their primary focus.
I think they'll win the league. Last season, no one wanted them to win it, and everyone was really hoping they wouldn't. And I think there is that almost like resignation across all the football. It's like, they're going to win it this time. At least they didn't win it last season.
Yeah. And they looked like favourites because City lost at Norwich. Did you see that one coming? Did you watch this game?
So I was travelling back from London, and I got into the house at half time. It was 2-1. And then I watched the second half. So I've seen the highlights of the first half, and there was a little clip that the Norwich Twitter account sent out today, and it was about how they played from the back under pressure, how they played that possession football, and some of their football I thought was brave, full of courage and exceptional. I just thought it was incredible watching it. It was confident.
Yeah, they all know where they are, don't they, what positions they're going to be. So it's like first time passing.
It's a proper coached team.
Yeah.
And I was very critical of them after the opening day defeat to Liverpool. I said that they were too open, that they play like that, they're going to get done over in the Premier League week after week. And you know, you've got to admit when you're wrong, maybe. It's still early days, don't get me wrong, but if they keep playing like this,
that Buendia bit there.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And just even now, this pass, it's a difficult pass, that. And the finish, that's the second goal we're describing, by the way.
Yeah, where Pukki squares it to that guy who looks like a student.
He does.
Yeah, he's like, he does look like someone who'd be in your halls.
Yeah,
in your first year. He's a bit of a knob. What's he called?
It begins with a C.
Campwell.
Yeah, that's it.
Campwell. No, I mean, we've looked at some of the footage there, and yeah, like I say, the bravery with the first time passing, knowing where your players are, and just the bravery to take on a player or two, because once you're out of City's press, you can get at their back four pretty quickly. Because they really commit to it, City, don't they? And they're so far off the pitch.
And they do look, there's a big issue there at centre-back, especially now we've just seen the headline, John Stones out for 5 weeks.
Yeah. Well, Guardiola's had problems with German pressing managers, hasn't he? Because he's never fared never fared too well against Klopp overall. And now
they've certainly given him problems.
Farke, whatever his name is. German fucker.
I like him.
He's of the same school, isn't he, really? Yeah. They did look like they were absolutely bricking it, though, towards the end of the game. Norwich, they really, really were hanging on. But...
yeah, they were.
It kind of looked like it had a 3-all written all over it. Like when they, as soon as they went 3-1 up and City were just all over them, it was like, yeah, this is going to be a 3-all game. But they managed to hold on.
I think they deserved it. I think over the piece, I think they definitely deserved the win. And fair play to them. You know, there's bigger teams than Norwich that have failed spectacularly against Man City. So I think it's a bit of a victory for the Premier League, that one. Fair play.
Guardiola wasn't happy, though, was he, at the end of the match? Jesus Christ, he's a sore loser.
Well, he's never really happy when he wins, is he?
No, that's true.
So, what do you make of this with Guardiola? Is this good, or is this... don't need it? Do you ever find that when he loses a game, especially against like a lower team, he makes this big deal of congratulating the manager in front of the public eye? I don't know.
Do you think it's a bit condescending, patronising?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, but I think I might be being a bit harsh, I don't know. I just saw it at the end of the game and I just thought, just shake hands and walk off.
Yeah, he does a lot of things in public, though, doesn't he? Like the fact that he'll talk to opposition players, his own
players.
Like
he did with,
Nathan Redmond.
Redmond, yeah.
Yeah. I honestly don't think it's like a purposeful tactic. I think that's just his personality. I think when he says stuff like, oh, we like the way that they played when they play really open football and then they can just beat them 5-0 or whatever, like he did about Brighton, I think that's more of a spin because he wants other teams to play like that into City's hands. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they react to this. The running thin on centre-backs, and we said in our preview, if we thought Kompany going might come back to haunt them, and it is looking that way.
Yeah, if Laporte gets injured, there is a big gap there, and so their centre halves are going to be Otamendi and Fernandinho, it looks like. And
yeah,
one of the, you know, and Otamendi was poor defending. You know, we'll get onto poor defending later, but
we've not really talked about him, but he's had an absolute shocker there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Where's the guy shouting man on to him? He did not have a clue, did he?
It was from the school of shit defending, that was.
Yeah. Talking about Vincent Kompany, by the way, I had a bit of a disgusting experience last week.
Did you go to his testimonial?
Holly's brother had a spare ticket, so I went with her dad and him and his girlfriend. And seriously felt a bit sick on the tram on the way. Absolutely sardined in with 100 City fans singing Vincent Kompany song. I was just like, you know when you just feel like, oh, I'm undercover here, like, do you know what I mean? I did feel like I'm undercover, and then you arrive at the City Stadium and I just everything's so blue,
very blue, even like the lights behind the Man City blue, you know, like the Man City sign, Manchester City.
Yeah, it's very well branded. Have you been to a testimonial game?
I went to Tony Adams' testimonial years ago. Arsenal-Celtic. Weird.
I'm just going to say, I'm never going to get duped into going to one of these games again. They are absolute fucking rubbish.
I was
going to
say, it was not worth the money.
No.
Yeah, they are rubbish.
The game is so slow. There's no counter-attacks. I realise this. This is what makes the games really exciting in the Premier League. It's counter-attacks, isn't it? People breaking at speed, yeah, one end to another. They haven't got the speed anymore to counter-attack as old players. Everyone just gets back. And yeah, it's just rubbish. And also, like, referees, like, just let things go, like, every now and then.
Especially
like,
in a testimonial.
Fractional offsides, like, who gives a shit? We just want to see goals, not offsides. Anyway, it was terrible.
It's like when you get them celebrity games, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
They're rubbish.
Well, this turned into one of them. It was really funny because one of the subs came off for Man City. And they just announced who came on, and the whole crowd didn't know who was. This was a Legends game.
Who was it?
We still don't know. We were trying to work it out at half time.
Someone had turned up and was just like, you need to play.
And someone came on for the Premiership All-Stars that no one knew either. Like, towards the end of the game as well, Man City turned into Stuart Pearce's Man City. and there was a guy David
James
behind
up front.
Me. Well, yeah, there was a guy behind me going, "Is this worse than fucking when Stuart Pearce was manager? Fuck's sake!" It's just like, mate, it's a fucking friendly. Like, chill the fuck out. They have it too good these days. Anyway, it was kind of funny, but yeah, didn't ever go to a testimonial. But Sean Wright Phillips, was he ever a footballer? He certainly didn't look like one when I saw him play there.
Do you remember when he was like hot property?
Yeah.
He went to Chelsea for like millions at the time.
Too hot to trot.
Oh, hot!
Right, yeah. Should we move on?
Just one more thing about Man City. Just so you know, the quite disturbing actually bit of news this. My little nephew, he's a Man City fan. Not ideal, but got bragging rights over pretty much the rest of the family at the moment because Man City win everything. Went to get a name on his top. They were out of child E's. So he couldn't get a Man City player with the little E.
I don't get it. A little E.
So he was going to get, I think he was going to get like Sane on the back of his shirt, but they didn't have the child E letter.
But it's still in capitals, is it?
Yeah, but for a child shirt.
A child, right, because I was like, little E, like, capital E and little E. Like, is it E?
Yeah.
Were there any players without E?
Well, you just think of it.
Silver.
So he could have had either silver. I think he's already got silver on one of his other shirts.
Oh, fucking hell, he's doing all right, isn't he? They're expensive, these shirts.
They are expensive shirts. What was the other one? So I was thinking about who you could have. So is it Gundogan? Has that got an E in it?
Gundogan, yeah. No.
Has it, no. So you could have had Gundogan.
Rodri.
Yeah, that was the other one I saw at the weekend. But apart from that, they've all got E's in the names. Most of them.
Yeah, Sterling, Sané, Aguero.
Jesus.
Foden.
That's what he wanted, Foden. He wanted Foden on his shirt.
Got that. Well, that was quite a crisis. Was this at the City Megastore?
Yeah. So he's going this weekend to hoping that they've got the... So they offered, apparently, to put the adult letters on with the kid's number.
Right.
And my brother said, it just looks shit, so we're not doing that. But yeah, so Man City need to get their child ease sorted out.
Someone probably lost their job over that. So that's
we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen, but, you know.
Well, you know, Abu Dhabi and their workers' rights, so it's not surprising.
Let's move on.
Since when did Chelsea have a trio of England under 21 internationals that score all their goals?
The goal, Tammy Abraham's hat trick was actually really good, well taken goals as well.
I thought all three goals were really well taken. It's weird that Chelsea are becoming enjoyable and likable to watch, and it is just young English players in any team is kind of, I like it. Even City, like. You know, watching them win the league, okay, I prefer them to win it than Liverpool, but I do like the fact that Sterling is doing really well and the amount of shit he's had from the press and all that kind of stuff. I think we've talked about Sterling before, but I think if you've got a core of young English players in your team, you know, people are going to respect you a little bit more. I think Chelsea have always been a disgusting team because they just buy in the latest foreign stars all the time, don't they?
Yeah, and they've always... I've never...
And really the only English player they had was John Terry.
Yeah, I was going to say. And even Lampard, when he was playing, no one really liked him.
I know. I liked him more, as a pundit and manager than I ever did as a player.
Yeah, and you know, it's like John Terry is at Villa now. It puts me off Villa a little bit just in being there.
Yeah.
So quite, I do quite like Villa. I think they're a massive
club. Just the stink follows him around wherever he goes, I think.
He's just... You know when he tried to have that mutiny to try and get everyone to overthrow Capello at the World Cup, and then all the players came back and went, no, we're not doing that.
What? That's so unprofessional. It's ridiculous.
Such a dick.
Well, just full kit wanker.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, one of the joys I've had in football was him missing that penalty against you in the 2008 Champions League final. Well,
even more so for me, my friend.
Yeah, oh, I can imagine. But that for me was, I was a full on Man United fan that night. Anyway.
So anyway, I'm sorry, yeah. I feel a bit uncomfortable saying it, but yeah, Chelsea just quite looked forward to seeing them play. And yeah, Mason Mount, Abraham. Yeah, they're
the first goal, is it?
And it just goes to show as well that Mourinho says, oh, I can sum a player up in 5 minutes, young enough, whether he's good enough. And it was making the point, wasn't he, that he would probably go with Giroud
over Tammy Abraham.
And, you know, this is why young players don't get any confidence under Mourinho, you know. It's just, I don't know, it's just nice to see. And I hope it continues for him. I've heard that he might go to Nigeria for his allegiance, his country, even though he's played for England and friendly. There's rumours about that. I don't know whether that he's trying to push a decision for himself getting a call up, but I think it'd be a shame if obviously he plays where he wants to play, whatever nationality he feels he is, you know, dual nationality is part of the international world these days, but I think it'd be a shame if for England to lose out of him.
Well, do you know, he's a player at the start of the season where... Because he did well at Villa last season.
Yeah, I don't watch the Championship, really, so...
I don't watch much of it, but I saw the playoff final. And they had a graphic on there, so he scored a lot of goals.
Right, okay, yeah. I think I did the exact same thing.
But I think I expected him maybe to... I didn't expect him to be as involved as he is. And he's like 7 goals already.
Yeah, he's such a different striker that Chelsea haven't had for a few years.
You know, I remember that.
Running him behind and stuff.
The only day of the season, he absolutely smashed the post, didn't he?
Yeah.
So,
but then after that, he lost confidence and he had a really bad second half and got subbed. Mm. So I just thought, yeah, okay, he's all right, but this is going to be a step up for him. But since then, what? He's been banging in the goals for fun.
Well, let's not forget, he scored a fourth. An own goal as well.
He did. Hat-trick and own goal. But still vulnerable at the back, aren't they, Chelsea?
They are vulnerable, and Wolves are an interesting little team at the moment because they haven't won yet, have they?
No, but they've won a lot in the Europa League.
Yeah, and this could be a problem for them.
I think they'll still survive. I just think they should give the Europa League full attention, though, because this is what you play football for. This is why they wanted to do so well in the Premier League, to get into Europe. You got to enjoy it.
Oh, I agree.
And I think they've got more of a squad to have a go at it than Burnley ever did, like last season.
I know.
But you have to pay the price for dodgy league form. It's just the way it is.
There's dodgy league form, but then there's not winning a game yet. And then we are fagging. I mean, I think they'll be absolutely fine. But the longer that goes without winning, you've seen better teams than Wolves struggle.
Yeah.
And I just think that they need that win under their belt.
So what you're saying is United's draw there earlier on the season started to look a bit average. That's what you're saying, aren't you?
I mean, I don't know about the top 6, 7, 8, but I can't. They're all in this
interchangeable
little cocoon of their own little thing.
I thought they had a good second half. Wolves did come back into it.
They did. They kept going.
Yeah.
And I think Wolves are they were a really good addition to the Premiership last season, and I want them to get that win. So I think the way they played football last season, and even at the start of this season, I remember the United game, Wolves were really good that second half.
Yeah, that's what I'm not worried about them yet, but you're right, they need that first win, don't they, just as a confidence
Yeah, thing. Exactly.
Give it Giggsy to the end of the season.
Spurs made short work of Palace, but I thought Palace were awful, but I only watched the highlights on Match of the Day there. The most convincing I've seen Spurs in a while, and Son is a awesome,
I think he's their best player now.
Yeah,
Son's second goal, by the way, I thought was exceptional.
Can you remind me what it's like?
So a ball comes in and he volleys it in at the back post.
Oh yeah, along the ground, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a beautiful goal. That first time passing, yeah. And Aurier played well, the right back.
Yeah, because he scored. Well, he deflected, didn't it? In if it was the second goal.
Yeah. coming from the cold. I feel like Pochettino's been a bit of a tiny little bitch, like, at the beginning of the season. Like, I know he's got a few grumbles and stuff, but it seems like they've had to get through the kind of transfer window to... He wanted to get through that to the other side, and now, like, the season can start for him properly. I just find he's up and down with his players sometimes. Like, he freezes players out for quite a while and then brings them back in.
I mean,
it's a weird style of management, isn't it?
Like Danny Rose, it looked like he was going. Now he's back in, and he's like first choice left back.
Sissoko, he kind of did it. He's done it with Vertonghen and Alderweireld. But I think he... basically, I think he does this and thinks, right, I'm going to sell you. I don't like you. I'm going to get rid of you now. And then Levy just won't sell them because they're too much of an asset to the club. And then he has to backtrack. Pochettino's backtracking all the time, isn't he?
Sorry about that.
Yes. But I think he's good at backtracking because he always seems to get his players back on side with him. I'm sure he said Wanyama was finished and stuff at the beginning of last season. Yeah, and he came crawling back, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a weird one. We'll get on to maybe the top sort of, well, 3 to 6 in a minute anyway, but I do get the feeling from how it started this season, it's weird again. And I think it could be very much like, you know, the second half of last season where it looked like no one wanted that top four position.
Yeah.
I think this season. Yeah, could be like that. Yeah. That's why there could be, if there is someone behind that can put a consistent run together, they could. But I don't think anyone behind's got that consistency either. So,
well, yeah, Everton, Leicester and Wolves, all inconsistent. Leicester, of course, came to Old Trafford.
Yeah, so I've seen the penalty, which was well taken, and I've seen Rashford hit the bar, or the post, or the corner of the bar and post.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I was watching this on a stream, and just got pissed off with it, that I just turned it off. You know, one of those stuttering ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, because all United fans around the country are doing the same thing.
Just get a Premier League, like, get a Premier League game pass or something like that. Let us buy the games you want to watch.
Yeah, I was really dubious about the beginning of this game because, midfield. I mean, it's Matic, so right? Average. Matic, Pereira, McTominay.
Because Pogba's out, isn't he?
Yeah, and Mata. I mean, we are thin on the ground and it's so negligent to not get a midfielder in. And the fact, like, Fred couldn't even get a game above that shower of shit that was in midfield.
How much was he bought for, Fred?
$53 million.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know. This is what I mean. We need to be backing him. He's just gone. I'm really unsure about McTominay as a Premier League starter for a top six club. Top four club. I mean, yeah, he's got heart. He's got desire. And, you know, he's never going to give up, but he's distinctly average to me.
The quality's not there.
No. But you got to say, it's a good result. And a lot of people had the knives out for him, thinking Leicester were going to win that game.
We got over the line. Could get something at Leicester in that one.
Yeah. It was a bit of a non-event, really. There's not much else to say. We just move on and glad at the win, really. But we are not going to blow many teams away. Gone are the days where we'll just play average teams at Old Trafford and win 2-3-4-0. Every game is up in the air.
I think you might be surprised. Come the end of the month, mate, you might have a big win.
Is that Arsenal? Well, should we go on to Arsenal?
No, let's get the others out.
Well, I've not seen the other ones, so I can't even talk about them.
Brighton, Burnley. Brighton equalised in injury time. Burnley equalised in injury time, sorry. Was it Hendrick from outside the box? Absolutely great finish.
All right, well, I'll check that out.
Sheffield United, Southampton. I've seen Southampton's goal, which is a good goal.
Yeah.
Sheffield United had a goal disallowed through VAR. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, I wanted to talk about VAR. It's gone to ghost town, hasn't it? What's happened? I'm not using it anymore.
Right, there was halfway, it was right at the start of the second half of Watford Arsenal on Sunday. Martin Tyler goes, there's a fire alarm at the VAR headquarters, so VAR is now unavailable. And then about 60 seconds later, he goes, I've just been told that they're staying put. It's a false alarm. VAR is still
in
play.
But they're not fucking using it because they want to protect the referees too much on the field. So they're not overturning decisions, are they, now?
Well, there was a goal that got disallowed from Sheffield United Southampton. And I think there was a shout for a penalty as well.
There was a penalty in the Liverpool game where Lascelles had his arm round Matip, and it was a definite penalty. And Peter Fulton, older referee on BT Sport, you know how the common jibe that's thrown at referees that they'll give decisions to the home team at big teams. Well, they were like, was that a penalty for Peter? And he was like, well, would you have given it? It was like, yeah, I would have given it, at the Kop end at Liverpool. I was like, you basically admitted that you give penalties. You were partisan. You were biased towards the biggest team. I've always been saying there's no evidence of that, and it's actually just insecurities or something, or it's just in people's heads.
Is that
it's just made up.
The urban legend that everyone's just following through with.
Yeah, but he's openly admitted it there. And not much was made of it, but I thought that was fucking disgraceful, Peter Fulton.
He was a shit ref, though, wasn't he, Peter Fulton?
Do you know what? I can't even remember him. I remember who he was, but I don't remember him as a ref.
Who was your favourite ref, thinking back?
Kalina.
No, a Premier League ref.
I mean, mate, that's like being a prefect at school, isn't it? That's loser territory. You don't have a favourite ref, do you? Uriah Rennie.
I was thinking exactly the same, Uriah Rennie. But even he was shit, wasn't he? He was good for a bit, and then all of a sudden he almost got institutionalised by referees.
Paul Durkin.
Durkin was alright, actually. He wasn't too bad.
Because the good ones just got too big for themselves. Like, do you remember Jeff Winter, Graham Pollock, Mark Clattenburg, Howard Webb? David Ellery, they just
see Howard Webb was all right for a bit and then went off the rails.
just got the booze, didn't he?
got on the referee and booze.
Yeah, poor Howard Webb. Yeah. His life's in the gutter.
All right, that does it. Get out of here, you drunk lowlife. Get out of here, I said. Lisa! Lisa! Lisa, are you here? Get out of the street, you fucking bum! You gave up on life, didn't you?
So, shall we go on to Sunday's games?
Yeah. Bournemouth, I didn't see.
So, I watched a bit of this, and Everton, they're so flaky away from home. And Fabian Delph just was terrible defending against a free kick. Did notice something, that Ryan Fraser seems to have got a bit built in the gym over the summer and is slowly morphing into Shaqiri. Sort of Shaqiri box type player.
So, he's always a bit of a unit anyway, wasn't he? Yeah. Ryan Fraser.
Fraser. You've been watching a box set of Fraser, yeah.
It's been on over the summer with the kids being off.
Yeah. Never thought it was that good, really.
Fraser?
Yeah, a bit up its own arse, isn't it?
It had moments. Talking of kids, though, you know what happened to me just before I came over here?
You've had kids? You had a kid?
No. Went for my run and I was stretching, by the arch at the Manchester Museum.
Yep.
Three kids came down on the bikes, and I sort of was leant over and I come back and one of them swerved, like that at me. And I was, when you're a bit startled, you're like, oof, what the fuck? And then his mate behind went like that, stuck his finger up and he went, yeah, dickhead. So how do you respond to that? Just carried on my stretching.
Are they starting here at Welcome Week? Yeah.
It would be
a students.
If they are, it's worrying times.
Oh well, I'm sure they're just having a bit of fun.
They were. I smiled it off. Yeah. Didn't retaliate. I'm scared of anything.
Yeah, that's crazy. Ryan Fraser scored, and Wilson got a couple of goals as well. I feel like I know Wilson a little bit better these days because I bought him for my team in a FIFA game that I'm playing at the moment, and he's really good.
Is this the FIFA game you had Rude Hullet in?
Well, no, that's the foot thing. I didn't understand that, so I climbed out of that room as fast as possible because I was like, my head's going to explode. No, I'm just doing, like, I'm Newcastle for some reason. I wanted a challenge of trying to get Newcastle to win the league, but I've been there for a few seasons now, and I bought Callum Wilson. Trying to buy players that were quite realistic, you know. And boy, he's really fucking good. Like, he's on course for 30 goals this season. So when I saw him celebrating the goal, I was like, I'm used to this. This is what I'm used to. He bags a brace for me all the time. Anyway. But yeah, Everton, like you were talking about inconsistency of the teams challenging for that top six, the pretenders, you can't be losing 3-1 away to Bournemouth. The final game the weekend, well, there was yesterday's. I didn't watch any of that. I can't bother talking to. Yeah. So I watched the first half of this, and you looked pretty good. Like, really clinical. Well, the first goal was pretty simple, but the second goal I thought was really well created, and great finish at the back post.
The first goal was individual quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... just taking advantage. I didn't think it was a foul. A lot of people said it was a foul. I didn't think it was a foul on the edge of the halfway line. Klasinac just put the ball in, and then it's just a great turn and finish. And the second goal was wonderful. Özil through to Maitland-Niles, and it was just really like vintage football. That was really, really impressive. We were a bit shaky to begin with first half, and we were doing stupid things on the edge of the box. Now, I phoned my dad at half time. And I said, that is the good, the bad and the stupid in the first half. And if we carry on playing like that, we're going to concede something stupid. And I said that it's the only way we can mess this up now is if we self-implode. I said, the game's there to be won. The game is won, it's there. And about 60 seconds...
You could just close the game down, couldn't you?
About 60 seconds. And do you remember right on half time? I don't know if you saw it, Guendouzi got dispossessed on the edge of the box. We were trying to play out from the back.
I didn't know. I mean, I only had one eye on this because my good eye was on the cricket.
Yeah, that's where I wish my eyes were.
both
eyes. As soon as it had gone 2-0, I wish I'd just turn it off and watch the Ashes. Now, right at the end of the first half, Guendouzi got dispossessed on the edge of the box and they very nearly scored. 60 seconds into the second half, Guendouzi plays a pass across the box that gets dispossessed. They very nearly score. About 3 minutes later, Socrates plays a ball out, gets dispossessed, they score. The whole thing goes to shit. I've never seen anything more shambolic in my life. They're trying to play out from the back, they're under so much pressure. When the ball's going long, they're all set up to play like from the back. Yeah. So it's just coming into this big space in midfield. The Watford players are just dropping into centre mid and going, great, we've got all this ball. The one player who was at least comfortable on the ball was Danny Ceballos. Brought him off.
Do you like his new chant?
I do like his chant. It doesn't quite work.
It's a bit unimaginative though, isn't it?
I like the
Latin. He drinks Australia. He
drinks paella. The boy's fucking magic.
Do you think like sort of some German fans or Spanish fans sing, like, he eats fish and chips? Do you know what I mean about?
I didn't mind. It sounded good on the telly in the first half. The Lacazette one's better. It's the spirit in the sky.
Well, I thought you'd be pleased that they used that song in the end, because you used to have your own version of that.
I did. It was with the Spanish lads in midfield, wasn't it?
Yeah. Santi Cazorla, Mikel Arteta,
someone and someone,
and the Ox. I can't talk, by the way, of just assigning stereotypical things of nationalities, because we sang about parking and dogs. So, you know, it's the classic football fan thing to do. Yeah. Talk about football fans, actually. Just back to that, Vincent. I know you want to rant more about Arsenal. Don't worry, yeah, we'll come back to it.
Yeah, yeah.
At the company testimonial, I'm not just saying this about City, by the way. When I go to Old Trafford, I feel the same. I don't know if you feel the same. There's some worrying people that go to the football, like, just a bit wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, pretty ugly.
Yeah.
And
we'll show you something as well.
Also a bit like, do you ever get this sort of feeling like all that you do is just this club?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
No,
like, literally they have nothing else in their life apart from,
you go in and like the curtains of the football club, there's a rug with the crest, the football crest on it.
Yeah.
Every single, no, don't get me wrong, we've all got a football mug, but we've got like one or two. We've not got a cupboard full of them.
So to all it ended, and it must be frustrating, but how are you feeling about Emery, and do you think this rests on him? Because he's obviously a tactic that he's issuing this out for his players to do.
I don't know.
Have you got the players that are comfortable to do it? It doesn't look like it was Socrates.
I've got to be honest, this is a lot of fans have turned on him. A lot of fans want him out now.
Well, apparently Wenger in was trending on Twitter. Which is just brilliant. I mean, if Wenger came back, that would be amazing.
I mean, it was, I'd have to say, in the last 10 years, it's probably the worst half of football I've seen from Arsenal. Just in the very context of it, we conceded something like 23 shots in the second half alone.
I've seen that stat.
Yeah.
The most shots conceded
ever
at this point.
Since Opta came into it. So we've... Now, don't get me wrong, we've had bad halves. I mean, we were 5-1 down to Man United in like 2001 or something at half time. Chelsea, we were 4-0 down. Liverpool, we've been 4-0 down at half time. But this was bad. This was like the team looked in shambles. They looked all over the place.
Really, it's weird when your team like just falls apart on the pitch.
Yeah,
like, and you see it coming off. United have been like that in the last few years, and it's like when things start going wrong, it's like they've not got the character to kind of stop it. Like,
and it just unravelled, and it was really, really worrying to watch. There was so much space in midfield. It became like I don't know if you watched the Arsenal-Spurs game, there was like the last 5 minutes, it was just end-to-end. There was nothing in midfield.
But certainly entertaining.
That was the second half. We had nothing in midfield, and it was literally, we were going up one end, getting dispossessed, and then Watford were going up the other end and having a chance. And there was one point, Maitland-Niles just played this ridiculous ball in the centre of midfield, and it went straight to a Watford player. And do you know when you've got like no air left in your body to shout and scream? It was like that. It was like, I can't believe that has just happened. It was worrying. Some of my mates, I've done with him. They want him out. They want him out. Now, I
just think when you look good, though, you look absolutely great. I mean, it just feels like he can sort out the defence, but it's weird how he seems to be building a team from attack to defence. It's normally the other way around, isn't it?
I've got to be honest. I'm not at that point where a lot of people are. I expected maybe when we got Emery in to at least be a little bit more defensively sound. A little bit more structured, at least. That was particularly bad second half. We are conceding a lot of chances, and last season we conceded a lot of chances. Now, I have sympathy for him because he inherited a bit of a mess, and there's been a lot of turnaround, not just on the field in terms of playing staff, but behind the scenes as well. The whole structure of the club has changed, including this summer. The thing with Emery is it's like he's changing tactics all the time.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he just says, right, this week we're going to play like this because of the opposition. And it's like they then plan to play like that, but they don't actually know how to play it. And it sort of becomes very apparent when you're watching it sometimes. We look a little bit sort of stretched, well, a lot stretched, and we look all over, we look a bit ragged. And I would like him, I mean, this is the irony of this, you know, with the Arsene Wenger playing the same way year after year after year, game after game.
Right.
I would like a little bit of consistency. The thing that Arsene Wenger never did was tamper his his approach. You can play the same formation, but you can play different ways of playing that formation, if you know what I mean. If you go to a big team away from home, you can still play the same formation, but you say to your wide men, you've got to drop deep. You two got to drop deep. Fullbacks have got to be a little bit more conservative, especially early on. Let's get into this game and then see where we are when you're away from home in tricky games. And but what we're doing is we're changing the formation, we're changing the personnel. Everything is changing week on week. And it reminds me a bit of Claudio Ranieri when he first took over at Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, when he was changing all the time, and it's like, 1 week they looked all right, Chelsea, and the next week they were getting me like 4-0 against Ipswich or something. I'm not at that point where I want him out.
No.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's the modern way, in a way, that this is happening. And I've never really been used to that Arsenal. I like him to get a bit of a chance. It has raised doubts for me, though, like the weekend. There is that little bit of doubt in my mind.
Who have you got next?
Villa at home, and then United away. But we got the Europa League against Frankfurt on Thursday.
Right, okay. So well, you've got a chance to put things right then against Villa at home.
Yeah.
Nice banker at home.
So you say.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, you didn't lose.
We didn't lose. God knows how we didn't lose, because there was a real good chance that Decore had at the end. And it's a very good save from Bert Leno. But yeah, there's for the first time, I do actually think, in my head, I want Emery to succeed, but I'm not convinced he will succeed. And that's the first time I've felt that.
Yeah.
So it's a worry. I'm still supporting him. I hope that he can pull it round, but there is a doubt there.
Right. Okay, I think I'm clear.
Yeah.
Well, work in progress.
Work in progress, definitely.
Right. Is there anything else you want to add?
Football-wise, no.
No. You want to... Have you got a distraction of the week?
I have got a distraction of the week. I've just finished watching The Boys on Prime, Amazon Prime.
Okay, dokie.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I'd recommend it.
Very good.
Yeah.
I've got tickets for Bon Iver.
Oh, very good. Very nice. Where's that?
At the Manchester Arena, unfortunately. But I recommend giving his new album a listen. If you liked 22 A Million, which is very divisive, you either love it or you hate it. It's quite jarring at first, but very rewarding once you get into it. And this next album is a bit more, there's a bit of a follow on from that, at least for the first half of it, and then it kind of mellows out a little bit. But yeah, that would be my distraction
for this weekend.
For this weekend, yeah. But you can sort of do other stuff. I'll tell you what, you can listen to that whilst doing washing up or something.
Absolutely.
I proper cleaned the house today, last weekend, because Holly went away. And you know when you do one thing and you're like, right, I'm in the zone now. And you end up doing the whole house.
It's really rewarding, isn't it?
It is.
Do you ever,
And then when they come back and they're really thankful and you're like, it's nothing. Don't worry about
it. That's the way I roll.
But you know you've got stuff in the bank.
Do you ever sit there after you've done it and then look at how tidy it all is?
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
And then as soon as you make something, you tidy it up straight away because you want to keep it spotless. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good way to keep distracted, though. Clean your house. There you go.
My house will be spotless.
Yeah. Right. Hopefully we can record next week.
Yeah.
But then the weekend after, I'm going to be away. So
that's fine, yeah. Get one in next week. Nice.
Good. Right, I'll speak to you again next week.
Nice.
See you later.
But I want to ask you one question. If I had some nuts hanging on the walls, what would I have, honey? I said, darling, you have some walnuts. She said, well, daddy, if I had some nuts on my chest, would those be chestnuts? I said, hell yeah. She said, well, daddy, if I had nuts under my chin, would those be chin nuts? I said, hell no, since you'd have a dick in your mouth.
Chicky check, microphone check, one.
Chicky check, microphone check, two.
Chicky check, microphone check, three.
Check game from the notorious Compton G.
Back with some shit that got the bump. As you pull up in the park, your pops are trunk. Just a fossil like a motherfucker clowning this shit. Got your dangers on your hoopty and your fly ass bitch. Throw off, go off, show off, I'll take that home. If she proper, I'ma pop up. The whole hopper is back on track. With big money, big nuts, and a big fat chronic sack.
So dash, step up on they ass, and give these motherfuckers a blast from the past.
Diggity dads out of the cut with some shit that I wrote with my nigga D. E-I-E, so you know I must be dope, but rat-tat-tat-tat that ass. Starting static with Drake, make way for the AK. That I grand guys, I slang like Kathy. Not from Crisscross, but they call me Mac Daddy. Hattie, not known about the city I'm from. Long Beach, tic-tac, grab your gat, watch your back, kid, right, come. Stomping in my khaki suit, Big G from the hood, Ken from Eastwood. God damn, I ripped up, flipped up, and skipped up on top of things as they swing towards my ding-a-ling.
Look, could you raise up off his nuts? Cause Dr. Drizzy's about to riz that shit up. Chicky check,
microphone check one.
Chicky check,
microphone check two.
Chicky check,
microphone check three.
You're tuned to the sounds of the DRE.
Now check me out, it's back to the old school, where the niggas get they scrap on. Don't nobody cap on, slap on some DRE or some funky ass shit by the D-O-double-G-Y-D-O-double-G. Real G's who drop keys, protect these N-U-T's, so nigga please by my manuscript. You see that it's a must, I drop gangsta shit.
Yikes.
So recognize gang from the gangsta. Things will remain the same until I change them.
It's real easy to see, so you can check sounds from Nate D-O-double-G.
I can't be faded. I'm a nigga from the motherfucking street. I can't be faded. I'm a nigga from the motherfucking street. I'm a nigga from the motherfucking street.
I can't be faded.
I'm a nigga from the motherfucking street. I heard you wanna fuck with Dre. You picked the wrong motherfucking day. Here we go, toe to toe.